welcome to episode 6 of the KungFuology.com podcast. My name is Jake Newby, and with me as ever is Andy Best.
Hello.
And Andy is, again, not feeling too well this week, which probably means he'll just talk on and on and on and on.
That's right, Jake. Actually, usually at this point I'd start to, you know, lead in to a joke or some sort of like fake news, which is going to turn into a lark or a caper, but today we don't have one because we have a bit of an announcement to make. Christmas is coming. That's well, so all the shops playing jingles in November tell me, but Christmas is coming, and Jake here is going home for the halls around mid-December, and he'll be back for the new year. And we were talking about you know, where do we take a break, what do we do with the pod, and we decided, since there's been a lot of attention drawn to the fact that we're British and it's Brits podcasting and all that kind of thing, that we'd do a BBC series run, which, Jake, is how many episodes?
It's 6 episodes, exactly. So makes this one the last one.
That's right, the last one. Or
the current series.
That's right. It's let's put a bit of positive energy in here. It's the season finale. So watch out for thrills, spills, action, explosions, and a podcast like you've never heard it before.
You're such a hype machine, Andy.
That's right, I am.
To coin a phrase from Mr. Hamilton.
So that's it. So there's this one, and then we'll be back after the new year.
Sometime in the new year.
Sometime when we can be, you know, arsed. You bastards. All right, then. So what's in the pod today?
Yeah. We're going to take a look back at last weekend, as ever, with the grand opening of Mao Live House, Shanghai, and also the Rock for Roots and Shoots show down at Yuyantang. We're going to have a chat about a couple of stories that we've had on the blog this week, one being the closure of a venue downtown, and another one about a certain band who we tend to quite like, who have put up some full-length tracks on their Doban page.
For the first time, yeah.
For the first time, yeah. And then we'll round out, as ever, with a look towards what's going on this weekend.
Yeah, that sounds great. So, Jake, pause. What were we doing? Oh no, where were we? It doesn't matter how I try it. This line is going to be fluffed in all 6 podcasts. Where were we on Friday night? Where were we on Friday night?
We were at the grand opening of Mao Live House Shanghai.
Ooh, the grand opening.
The grand opening. It's Mao, which has obviously been open for nearly 2 months.
That's right.
Had a grand opening.
Yeah, and there was a soft opening, like a restaurant. We've kind of alluded to this in the previews already. So we went.
We did, yeah. And who did we have playing? We had Biz open the night, right?
Yeah, and Biz is the band of talent show winner. The show is called Wo Xing Wo Shou, who also gave us Wong Xiao Kun, of Yu Si Yuan. And so it's Yu Si Yuan and Biz, B-I-Z. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. He opened.
How is that? Pretty poppy.
Are we going straight into it? Are we? Oh, okay. Well, okay. So, yeah, full disclosure, Jake turned up a bit later. So I'll kick things off. So I was there at the beginning, dead on 8:30. It was a free grand opening. And yeah, it was even more packed than the Pet Conspiracy gig at the end. It was, you've probably seen the photos on my blog. It was rammed, at least 800 people in there.
Yeah.
Even the kind of the standing area down the front was kind of getting shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, and definitely. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Like Andy says, I turned up a bit late for this one. I was still having dinner, I think, at 8:30. I think I got a text or a call from you, and you're just saying, you've got to get down here now because it's absolutely packed already. And this is at 8:30. But, you know, so it shows what can happen when you make it a free show.
That's right. People will come. If they don't have to pay, they will come. So anyway, everyone in the crowd seemed to know B.I.Z. or they know him. They've seen him on TV, Yu Si Yuan. So I saw a couple of people singing along, but the sound was kind of quiet, a bit muddy, and you know, the guitars were all kind of wishy-washy. You couldn't really hear it that well. Their performance as a band was very low energy. They're probably used to going for backing tape. I don't want to be mean, but he's like an American Idol winner, basically. But they've got a band now because there's no industry, so there's nowhere to go after the show. Wong Xiaokun did the same thing. Now he has a band called Qing Ma Dao, and we saw him at the Indie Top 1 show in the Dream Factory a while ago. So he was very underwhelming, but, you know, people know who he is. So that went by, blah, blah, blah. And then
next up, who's next? I made it in time. Well, for most of their set, I think.
Yeah, you got it, stuck at the sides for the opening song. So the Mushrooms. And this was the band who... this is the second out of four bands. But obviously, this is who everyone was here to see. I mean...
Well, the place pretty it half emptied after they'd finished. Right?
After the Mushrooms,
and
yeah.
In a way, it wasn't all that surprising because the way that they performed, it was like they were the headline act, you know? Like, I mean, the crowd, there's a big portion of the crowd were there to see them and were really getting into them. And they gave, you know, such an energetic and, I don't know, high-octane performance that they felt a lot like they were the headliners, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They ripped the place out. I'm not sure about the sound, but at that point, I was right down the front with the diehard local fans of the Mushrooms. And the good front half of that, you know, huge standing area was jumping and dancing and going off. It was a really crazy gig, and we know the songs and we like the gig, so wasn't really in a position to comment on if the sound had improved for the second act. But I mean, you've seen the photos.
The sides, and then after a couple of songs, I couldn't really stay at the sides any longer. I had to just sort of climb over people and get in there. But yeah. There's some great photos up on Andy's blog of the guys performing and of a few familiar faces in the crowd as
making
well.
Make familiar faces making unfamiliar faces. So the interesting thing about this was, obviously, they kind of, I don't want to say a wider audience, but there's a lot of extra people there, like double the last time they played there because it was free. And these people, when Jake was at the sides, you could hear them excited, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of people going, oh, you know, who is this? And you know, who are these guys? Are they locals or what have you? So I was sort of trying to say as loudly as possible and tell as many people as possible who they were. But yeah, there seemed to be a lot of buzz about them. I mean, I think, like you say, I mean, the fact that it was free brought in a lot of people who perhaps wouldn't necessarily normally go to these kind of gigs. Yeah. And probably hadn't seen the band before. And that's, you know, that was one of the good things about the show being free and about it being in a big venue like Mal. It brought in a lot of these people. And a lot of people were asking, who are these guys? So, you know, hopefully it's brought them to a wider audience. Would have been nice if they could have bought a CD or something to take away with them, but that's another
issue. This is the thing. I mean, we're always banging on about the Mushrooms, sorry, but over the past year, they came back from the Indie Top thing. They organised their own like party nights at Yuyin Tang, started packing it out, started really growing their following, honing their act and their style, and getting a massive following. But they've, you know, we're going to talk about it later, until very, very recently, they've never had the music available for people to get, and I believe it's, you know, really sort of held them back. They've really had to struggle because of that. But more talk about that later. So who was up next, Jake?
Jason Faulkner was up next.
Who's that then?
I still don't really know, actually. I haven't even watched him. This is the guy...
Steve Seth, yeah. Jellyfish.
Jellyfish.
Does that ring any bells? Anyone? Any fans of the OC and the soundtracks and bands like that?
He was that kind of guy.
Well, I have to say, over at layoutboards.com, Zach... hello, Zach... put up a glowing review where he was like basically saying, you know, it's all about the music for him and the complexity and the harmonies and the compositions, and that as much as the Mushrooms obviously gave a great show and were rocking and that, for him it's not enough. He thinks it's not enough for the experience. He just thought that Jason Faulkner sort of like ruled the night with his amazing music. Now, from the side where I was standing for the first few songs, the music and the sound sounded a bit underwhelming to me, and people were basically, you know, filing out during the set. I mean, there's still plenty of people there, right?
Yeah, there were. I mean, by the time he'd finished his set, it was probably down, I don't know, 300 to 400, which, you know, still a decent crowd, really, for a normal gig kind of there.
Yeah.
But it was just, it seemed bad because it had been so jam-packed before that.
Right.
You know, it
could be the curse of the train times as well.
I was going to say that, actually. To be fair, the time was getting on at this point. And especially if it's not a normal gig-going crowd, I don't know how many people were really there. Were prepared for a sort of big late night kind of thing. So I think maybe a combination of those factors meant that a lot of people drifted away.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just great to see the place packed out, even if it was because it was free, which brings us on to the next point. Now, we've made a promise. It's a season finale. We have a big no negativity sort of like, you know, show, don't tell policy at the blog, and try to just introduce as many things as we can. But, you know, Jake, I noticed that the next band sort of annoyed you so much that you actually, the nicest guy, in my opinion, the nicest guy in Shanghai music writing, finally came out and wrote some not 100% complimentary posts. What happened there?
Yeah, well, the thing about the complimentary posts, I don't, like you say, I don't like to sort of slag bands off unnecessarily. Like, and if there are bands that I don't like, then there's no point in me really writing this band was shit, or, you know, just writing unnecessarily bad things about them. But with this band, they kind of tipped me over the edge a little bit.
And it wasn't the music, right? Well, it was a little bit. But I mean, this we're talking about Crystal Butterfly. And they've been around a long time. They've got a lot of their own fans, and their music is very technically adept, as we keep bringing up, keep hitting Max, bringing his... Max is coming back on him, cheesy box.
I said I wouldn't quote him on that anymore. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I did it then. So anyway, so it's not, that's not really the issue. I mean, the issue was, it was the grand opening, it was free, they packed the people in, and they put themselves on as headliners, which is kind of like what we were sort of half joking about with Youth and the Destroyer as well.
Right.
Except, I mean, they're supporting, right?
Yeah, exactly. They open the gigs. Like, they don't put themselves on as headliners. And they also don't...
But it wasn't even that, was it?
Well, they also don't get held up as, like, you know, the heroes of the Shanghai scene, you know, like, which Crystal Butterfly have been on via a piece from Lisa Mobius over on CNN Go. Lisa Mobius, who is the PR person for Mao Livehouse Shanghai. And, yeah, I mean, she's called them the go-to band on for a comment on the current Shanghai rock scene, and sort of... you know, made out as if this was like the sort of second coming of these huge, yeah, these huge heroes.
And there was a lot of talk about they were the real, excuse me, the real rock lifestyle and culture.
Right.
And that new bands are too commercial and or just in it for the entertainment or to make money, which is odd because as we're going to get onto with what sort of annoyed us about the gig, I'm really sorry, but we've got to say it. I'm going to pause for water here, Jake. Do you want to talk about your life or something?
No. Gone.
All right, fair enough. So, basically, Crystal Butterfly's frontman, you know, Lee Pung, who's, you know, it seems like a nice guy, helps us out a lot. We support them. We go to all the gigs. We've been to all the Indie Tops, yeah, all the Mao gigs.
He is a nice guy.
But, you know, he is the boss of Soma and, by proxy, of Mao.
Right.
And Soma specifically, you know, work with very commercial branding style, putting gigs on in malls. You're making these sort of like online cartoon promos. This is stuff we've seen from meeting them, which is not really in the public, but they're very sort of commercial focused. They don't do traditional, they don't put out a CD and organize gigs. They've got them in malls. They've, you know, got them doing photo shoots where they had to like diet and dye their hair and pretty up and all this kind of stuff. And there's just obviously a massive gap between the rhetoric in that article and the actual actions. And it really, what tipped us over to actually start talking about it was the quote at the beginning of the gig, which was what? And keep in mind, it's a free gig, of which the Crystal Butterfly members are the owners who organised the event. What did he say?
Right, and Lee Pung, you know, took the stage. They did a couple of songs. They had this big countdown to their first song, and then this grand sort of opening beat and everything. And Lee Pung, you know, sort of looked out into the audience with his shirt unbuttoned and all of that, and just said, you know, I'd like to thank Mao for inviting us here tonight. And I don't know if it really works if you thank yourself for inviting yourself and your band to headline your venue.
Yeah, it's basically standing up in front of a massive packed venue, which is so good. It's a free promotion night and you're the organizer. You put your own band on as a headliner and then make out like it's on merit, you know, and you're invited and all the people there to see you. So it was a bit cheeky, but from all accounts, they went on to do, if you like the kind of the U2 things you say, they went on to do a fairly good set. People were there. People did like them. They had a lot of video projections, sort of gimmicks and a dancing girl on stage. And, you know, don't get us wrong. The gig was pretty good for the people who remained. And looking at the clock here, we were somewhere else on Saturday night, weren't we? Moving along.
We were. We were the Rock for Roots and Shoots gig over at Yuntang.
Right.
So this was six bands in total over at Yuntang. And it was all for Roots and Shoots' tree planting program in Mongolia. And so, like I say, there were six bands, so I don't know if we can really go through them all, but Resist were excellent again. I think probably the best that I've seen them. These guys get better and better.
Let me go back to Sven. Let's break it down more again for listeners who might know the band. So Resist, what kind of I know we've mentioned it on other podcasts, but I mean, like, who are they and what's their style?
All right, so this is Morgan from Boys Cry and Ropes. This is like his synth project kind of thing. So they've got Lucy on vocals, who's a fantastic singer. Natalie on keyboards. and they got Tim Anderson on drums, which he wasn't in when I first saw them. They didn't have Tim on the drums, and I really feel like having him in is a masterstroke. Like it really adds something a lot more to their live performances. And like I say, they've just got better and better every time I've seen them.
Right, and we see a few bands like this, like Pet Conspiracy, who we talked about a lot, obviously recently, are a kind of a electronic or synth based band who use a live drummer and have a bit of a rock edge in. So then we had a band from Norway who we don't really need to talk about because we talk about a local thing. Stuff, right. But I mean, I just want to say that when they were hanging out in the audience later, one of the guys in the band just looked like a stereotypical Viking. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. He was like 8 foot tall with like the long hair and the beard were of one piece.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a big triangle sort of style. And he was a massive, strong guy. And he just looked like he'd, you know, rape and pillage your village sooner than look at you, right? Which
unfair. Sure he wouldn't, though, because they would like seem like the most peace-loving and, you know, nice
no, of
people
course,
out
yeah.
there. But
I'm being an arse on purpose. Everyone else I know from Norway is like, you know, like other people who are into indie music and all that kind of thing. But I was a bit taken aback. I was a bit scared. I'm only little.
But anyway, after I don't know how to follow that. But yeah, but after that we had Triple Smash.
Right, I'm still not actually at the gig by now.
Oh, no, you're not. Are you? All right. Well, and after that, then, we had Triple Smash. So Triple Smash, this is, you know, instrumental rock band, three-piece. And they're good, Triple Smash. Like, I think it's more of a problem with the genre than the band. It's not a criticism of them, but I do find this instrumental rock stuff a kind of... I'm just waiting for a vocalist now and again. Maybe that's just because I'm a...
I think it's because I like Triple Smash, right? And obviously I didn't see this performance, so you can, you know, go on to say how they perform, but I have seen them. And yeah, their music is very much like a rock song without the vocals. There's not much of the kind of sound layers or progressions that you hear in some of the pure post-rock bands. The likes of, say, Wang Wen, who are quite famous, or some of the Minilus experimental bands. It's a very different thing. So, I mean, how did they hold up on the night?
They were good, though. They were really good. And I actually think the crowd really got into them as well. And I was going to say, like, usually with these kind of instrumental rock bands, I can watch a few songs and then I have to, I don't know, especially live, like I can only really take a few songs. But because there were so many bands playing, Triple Smash did quite a short set. So I think they only played about, you know, 5 or 6 songs. So it worked really well for them. And I think they definitely got the crowd buzzing and the crowd was starting to fill up a bit more at that point.
Yeah, it was sort of like a I don't want to be mean, but like a low to average turnout for Yu Yin Tang.
It wasn't great, really, was it?
The weather wasn't too good. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But
Au Revoir Simone were over at Mao as well, the same night, weren't they?
Yeah. And also, this was the crowd were very much sort of people, friends of the organisers, people who came down because they want to support Roots and Shoots, which is great. Yeah. You know, 50 renminbi bought you two trees planted on their lot in Inner Mongolia. So there's a lot of people there who, despite looking like they're into like live music, who are not really at Yu Yin Tang. Often are not really aware of the other local bands, and you don't see them at the kind of the better shows or the more packed out name band shows, right?
Anyway, and in this way, that kind of caused a bit of, well, it was a different atmosphere, I think. And I think some of the bands perhaps struggled a bit with that. So, like, next up were Bougie, right? And I love Bougie's bits. I think they're a great band, a really, really exciting band. I think they're a great act, but the crowd wasn't quite.
Yeah, so by that crowd, you had a little sort of half party, half charity, half new crowd coming to a rock gig and a benefit, and they literally had like 2.5 hours of experimental and like weird stuff, and like it's nothing against the band, we like Bougie, they're great, we're dying to hear their CD, and but you know, obviously by that time I think the crowd, obviously I was there and they kind of wanted to hear like a regular band type band, you know.
They were looking for more.
But as for Bougie, what we noticed was that Han Han, who was filling in on guitar while Sun Ye was getting married, is staying on guitar. The bassist has left and Sun Ye is continuing with them on the bass now. So a small lineup change there.
Yeah, and that means now they have 3/4 of Duck Fight Goose in Han Bougie. Han and Darman. Yeah, and Duck Fight Goose are up next.
And this is where the night really warmed up a bit.
Yeah, I mean... I seem to say this after every Duck Fight Goose show, but I think this was one.
Did
of
you
them.
Almost slip of speech to say fuck?
No.
Fuck Night Goose or something. Fuck Knife Goose.
No. My mum might be listening. I'm not going to swear. I don't want to say the name. DFG, anyway, they were really, really good. And I seem to say this after every show, but I think this was one of their best performances yet. It was funny because the last time we saw them was at Mao, and they were great on the big stage with the sort of the sound and everything, but the crowd hadn't really sort of picked up then. But in Yuen Tang sort of being right down close to them and with a decent crowd, they really kicked things off, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, a few of the people at the bar who were new sort of came up front, danced a bit, got into it. And then... The headliners came on a bit after that.
Boys Climbing Ropes,
talk about them a lot because they're back on the scene again, recording their new album and playing shows. And I found out the name of the track I really like that they now play at the end of the shows, because when they're singing it, actually, it's hard to catch because it's all like when it like builds up and up and up. And but it's actually
reveal it.
It's
going to be part of our season finale.
A knife life, as in knife for cutting, like, you know, apples, oranges, people's throats. I don't know, whatever you want to use knives for.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I tried to keep it, like, you know, varied. Something for everyone. A bit of fruit and a bit of murder.
Good.
And, you know, knife, as in a knife you cut things with, and life, as in your life. So a knife life is actually what they're singing in the chorus there. And I really like that track. And, you know, there's... I'm not sure if everyone there really appreciated it, but there's enough people to have a bit of atmosphere. And, again, I just want Boys Climbing Ropes to take themselves more and more seriously. They're a great band. I'm loving those songs. They're playing really, really well. And, you know, that Mao show, the previous show at Mao, was just, you know, they didn't fail on the big stage with more people.
Far from it. Yeah, yeah, we're definitely very excited about the new CD, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, come on, guys. Keep pushing and, you know, we'll come. We'll come to the gigs.
No, we've got to be careful about that, though, because we seem to be cursing these gigs.
But, that's right, yeah. But the podcast's taken a rest for a while, so gigs are going to be, like, time, really well attended.
Right, time to start organising your shows now.
That's right. All right.
All right, let's move on. So so we said we were just going to have a quick chat about a couple of things that have been up on the blog. The first one is a closure of a venue. Mao had its grand opening this weekend, but also last weekend we found out that the 696 live bar down at Wei Hai Lu has closed. Pretty sort of, you know... Yeah. Short notice,
abruptly,
closure, I think. Yeah.
Well, what happened there apparently is that, well, the official release says they need to find a new location and the gigs will be going on, and ones that don't will be, I don't know, the bands will be, you said reimbursed and stuff. I know what he's talking about, but anyway,
I'm not really sure.
No, but anyway, there's a bunch of stuff, but I mean, yeah, I know people who know them and stuff, and they didn't have a license, so, and apparently it wasn't even the performance license, they just hadn't registered as a business, which is quite easy to do, and they were just doing their thing in the middle of that art centre, you know, and eventually they got found out, and now they're going to look for another location, presumably another location where they can get away without having the proper licences.
That's
I don't know.
Maybe, I mean, I think you were saying before, like, live bars like a franchise or something, right? But maybe if you're out in a sort of an abandoned chemical factory out in Kunming Lu, out in Yangpu district, then you can maybe get away with taking some regulations a bit lighter than others. But if you're smack bang in the middle of town...
In a famous art complex.
Yeah. Right. Maybe it's not so easy. So it's a shame because it was a nice little venue. And you know, you seemed quite impressed with the place when you went to a gig there the other week. So
yeah, well, I mean, the review wasn't glowing. I went to see Second and Lei Ren there. But I mean, I really liked the place. They had... the photo you've got on your blog post is during the setup. They had more sound equipment when I was there, and they had the potential to do some great little 152 people shows, black box room, stage at one end, bar at the other, and you know, you could have had some pretty cool rocking little indie shows there, you know.
Yeah.
It could have been like, you know, what Logo should be if the space in front of the stage was open, they had a bit of a better sound system, that kind of size gig, but a little bigger with an open space, you know, I mean... because I like gigs that size too, but I still want the band to be on a stage. I can hear their music's loud and that you can rock out into it. You're not looking through the middle of the bar, right? So it's a real shame, but apparently they're going to set up as quick as they can.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens then, and we'll obviously keep you posted if we find out there's a new live bar opening up around town.
That's right.
But the other story we wanted to talk about just quickly...
The mushrooms,
basically. Again, we're going to talk about them again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fairly, well, for us anyway, it's a fairly significant development.
For us, yeah. Well, we always bang on about the mushrooms because we love the gigs. And also because if you're familiar with the blog, if you're familiar with my roundup post of 2008, or you keep a tabs on the scene, these are one of the bands that have been involved at every stage of the scene's sort of growth. And they're the closest we have to a local band to break through on their own efforts. And again, there's we've hinted at things about deals and them breaking through, but it's still ongoing. So again, no details, unfortunately. And also, we were hoping to get a song exclusively for the podcast, but again, things are still ongoing. And but there's some good news. For the first time in 2 years of watching these guys, more than 2 years, gigging, developing, changing the lineup, finally coming through, developing their following. For the first time, they've got full-length quality recorded tracks available online. Not to download for streaming, but at their Doban page, which you can see obviously linked below this podcast, they now have, there's four tracks there, but one's literally from 2006, the last one. And it's not relevant to them now at all. But
that,
the first
that's the one that was on the Indie Top CD, right?
Dung Dai, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but the first three are current songs that they play live, crowd favourites, and really good. They're still demos, but they're really good quality. And you know, so now you don't have to keep taking our word, listening to our hyperbole or excitement about them. You can just go listen and say, oh, they're great, or oh, they suck. You know, it's up to you. But we still urge you to come to the shows.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a caveat to that, I think we'd say they're still the songs are probably, you know, best seen live, I reckon.
Yeah, and I still don't see the sense of bands who are building themselves up not making all their songs available on Doban and for download, because you're not signed yet, right? You want people to hear it. But this is a special case where they've got something going on in the background. Yeah, I mean, you know, wish I could...
We can't really say too much, can we? But
no, but also I'm going to get cryptic now. So everybody, draw yourselves close to your computer. I don't know if I whisper, if it's going to disappear on the podcast, but basically the Mushrooms are a great live act and you should see them live, especially at gigs without fees, where it's going to be good. And, you know, if you happen to see that they're playing, you know, do go and check them out. And that's all I can tell you.
God, if only there was some sort of show that fitted all those criteria coming up soon.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But, you know, you'll get your chance. So, moving on.
Speaking of bands who have been involved in every step of the scene and who we've followed fairly closely on the blog, or particularly Andy has, looking forward to this weekend, Saturday night at Mao. There's a big CD release for Ling Ling Zhou San and Rock Shanghai.
So again, sorry to irritate people who already know this. Ling Ling Zhou San 0093 is a famous, literally underground rehearsal studio with 20-odd rooms. They're a massive service to the music community. They're cheap, affordable. They caused a boom in new young local bands. And they ran a series of nights at Yuyintang for a year. Well, they're still doing them now, but together with Rock Shanghai, where new bands can get performance experience. These are key people. And they've always wanted to put together a CD sort of summing up that era. And when was it first supposed to come out?
Well, it was originally supposed to come out on April the 1st, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, it makes us sound like idiots for believing it, but it was. There was a show going to go on, and the show did go on, didn't it?
I think there was a show in it. It's too long ago. I'm getting old.
I'd have to check that
stuff. Yeah. But anyway, the CD is definitely coming out now. It'll be out on Saturday. I think it's 50 kwai on the door, and that includes a copy of the CD. Something like that. It's well worth it anyway.
This is a good show. Before we talk about it, let's just make a straight list of the bands with a quick description that are going to be playing the night. So,
all right, so we've got Double Control Wear.
Who are, I want to use your term, extremo.
Yes. That's definitely going to catch on. We've got Pinkberry.
Yep, who... we might have a song for you later, and they are Liuxing Punker. They are pop punk.
Very nice. And we've got Bang Bang Tang.
Bang Bang Tang are like electric indie folk.
Nice. And we've also got Top Floor Circus.
Who are, I don't know, Gigi Allen crazy inspired subversive punk rock with a brain.
And who you will have heard on last week's podcast, if you were paying attention.
That's right. So they've got a big lineup showing a cross-section of new bands that have been around a couple of years and are coming through, and old favourites, Top Floor Circus. And, okay, I don't want to curse the show, but we always mention how they're great. They've got these songs, but when they play, you never know what it's going to be. Is it going to be like a theatre performance? Will they play the punk songs? Will they play like folk? Will it suddenly be a solo set with special guests? You never know, but on their Doban page recently, they've been uploading and making available all their classic tracks. They've been doing a bit of touring, putting some videos out, and it looks like they're gearing up to do a straightforward top floor circus show to headline this event, but that doesn't mean anything. But I mean, you know,
it could be a red herring.
As close as it can be to a prediction, looks like it's going to be a good old fashioned rip roaring top floor circus punk show. So
I seriously hope as well. I mean, I have no real evidence to base this on, but I seriously hope they're going to show the Shanghai Huaning Ni video as well, because they were filming that ages ago. And Mayara has been talking about how he's nearly got it finished. He's nearly got it finished. This would seem like the perfect place to do it, because the CD, like, there's a lot of kind of, you know, expo related stuff going on there. And
yeah, the cover's got a high bow on it and stuff, right?
Right, which is, you know, a lot of expo related stuff.
So. and the pavilion and stuff like that. But somebody else has actually definitely got a video debuting.
Absolutely. Pink Berry are going to debut their music video for the Pink Berry song.
And they got quite a famous international actor in that video, didn't they?
I'm not sure quite what you're driving at.
I'm not sure if it's a stage name or a coincidence, but he's called Jake Newby, and he can be seen like rocking out in a couple of shots. And so this video, well, tell us about the, let's recap, because I don't know if people listening to this saw the blog post or what was that? What happened there? You got invited?
When was this? It was a few months ago now. Xiao Yo just gave me a call in the day. She's the lead singer of Pink Berry, and said they were shooting a music video that night and did I want to come along? So I said, yeah, of course, I'd love to. I kind of thought it was going to be me watching them shoot a music video, kind of like with Bun Bun Tongue.
Right, but you were in that too, cheeky bastard.
Yeah, I was, wasn't I? Yeah.
Carry
Sorry.
On.
Anyway, but yeah, I kind of thought it'd be me just going along and seeing it. And I thought I'd go and take a few photos and write about it and, you know, hype it, I guess, a bit. And but I ended up being in it, basically. So.
Right. And there's one video knocking around of like the outtakes set to one of their songs, Live In Live. But this video is actually for the song called The Pink Berry Song.
Right. I'm not in the Live In Live thing anyway, so you don't really want to watch that.
No, yeah, exactly. It. Pointless.
Yeah. It's plenty of photos of me kind of around, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I wouldn't waste your time with any video that doesn't have Jake Newby in it. So the Bang Bang Tang video is quite different. Bang Bang Tang, in both these cases, actually, these were bands who had a friend who was a TV director or a lecturer at the film college or whoever, who said, oh, you've got a band, I wouldn't mind having a shot at a music video. And whereas Bang Bang Tang's was more sort of an outdoors, on location, kind of sketch together one, but it still looked good. The Pinkberry video was actually done on a proper soundstage with one of those walls of lights, wasn't it? What was that
Yeah, it was really, really hot, actually. Like, tell you that. All those stood in front of all those bulbs and stuff. It was this... it looks like an abandoned warehouse kind of up in the north of town. And basically, it's like a sports centre, or kind of. They have a few basketball courts there. So they set up this huge kind of soundstage and light stage up on a basketball court. And so it's the band kind of performing on that. One of the interesting things, of course, is that it's actually outdated already, because the Pinkberry lineup has changed quite a lot since that video was shot.
And the funny thing is that the lineup had changed, and they got a stand-in bassist for the video who's not the bassist who was in it anyway, because they just got someone who looked the part. So it is a bit odd, but we've been waiting a long time to see it. Let's talk a little bit more while we have time. We have plenty of time about Bang Bang Tang, or Lollipop, because it's another band who rose up through the early 0093 showcases and then suddenly disappeared for a break. And these guys, the backing band, are really excellent musicians. Chun Gong, who's the guitarist, is a really consummate. He plays like a classic Fender. He mixes folk, blues and jazz. He has a great sort of classic Fender sound. He's got great technical ability, and the songs are, you know, Zach from Layer Boards is going to appreciate his music. You know, he's going to appreciate the arrangements. And they're quite a musician's band. But at the same time, they have a kind of an anchor point in the singer, Xiao Bai, who's got a great like personality and amazing voice and is a real performer. And she's just like a great front person for the band. But then when they were just up there, they stopped, apparently to like write some more material, but then they just stopped. And
we kind of had an insight into
this, didn't we?
We kind of feared the worst.
Why was that, Jake?
Well, we just kind of thought that...
Let's go back to that interview.
We kind of thought the band might be finished, basically. So over a year ago now, I guess, I interviewed Xiao Bai as part of a feature that I was doing.
For SH Magazine.
Thank you.
RIP.
And...
Rotten Piss.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, I interviewed her, and one of the questions that
Go that on. Was actually the, you know, it was a really good magazine, and it was the best of the expat ones, and I just wanted to see the look on Jake's face when I said that. Sorry, carry on.
Thanks, mate. But yeah, so I was talking to Xiaobai, and I sort of asked her a question about, you know, oh, do you see yourself continuing to keep making music, or, you know, do you have any pressure from your family or anyone like that? And she said, oh, well, you know, my boyfriend's not so keen on it, and if he asked me to stop, I'd stop. Yeah. Simple as that. Just completely deadpan. Simple as that.
Yeah, and it was just kind of, yeah, it kind of blew us away. And we're not going to go into details of Xiaobai's personal life. She's just a great gal. You know, really, really intelligent person as well.
She is. And she's absolutely lovely. Like, and, yeah. And she is a fantastic front woman. And
yeah, amazing voice.
Yeah. But it seems as if, you know, they're coming back, basically. So I've been sort of pestering her about this for a while. And she's been saying that, you know, they really did want to write some new songs and they wanted to practice a lot. And that the Ling Ling Zhou San CD release seemed like the perfect time for them to come back. Yeah. So they've got this music video.
They've got a song on the CD.
Yeah, they've got a song on the CD.
Is that the same one from the video about, what is it called? The guys?
It's I Love... What is it? No, I can't remember. It's gone. I don't know. I can't remember. I think it's a different song, actually, on the CD.
Is it? Okay, yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see. But this is going to be at Mao.
Research. Yeah,
research. Yeah, no, we didn't write in the notes. It's called "I Love Something Men," and it is. It's like intelligent or girlish or boyish.
It's like
or
"I feminine. Love broken boys best" or something, isn't it?
Yeah. See, actually, it's difficult to translate. That's why we're hesitating here. But anyway,
yeah.
So this is a massive event. This is going to be Saturday night at Mao, the long-awaited release of the 093 compilation CD featuring many more bands not on this lineup. For example, sort of in-house favourites, Hanging Gardens, who are sort of like Britpop, sort of Coldplay-esque, a band who I really loved when they played
The Cure.
The tribute, like the Halloween thing, doing The Cure. That was amazing.
Yeah. And Mortal Falls are on there.
Yeah, Mortal Falls. And also another favourite 093 band, Five Pointed Star, who started off as a kind of like Linkin Park tribute, doing even covers, but then kind of developed into their own kind of new metal thing. If that's your genre, they're pretty... a pretty good band, and it's going to be at Mao. You get the CD with including the ticket price, so yeah. Should definitely go and check that along.
And please go, because you know this is the last show we're going to be recommending for a while, because this is the last podcast for a while.
Yeah.
And it'd be terrible if all of the shows that we've picked out were cursed by us.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So please go along to this one. It's a really big event for the local scene and all of these bands. It's going to be a great CD. It's going to be a great night.
And Top Floor Circus on the big stage. It's going to be amazing. There's one more band wanted to quickly slip in before we move to the song, right?
Was there?
Mono.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Well, this is on, this is on Friday. About? So this is Rock Without the Singer, but from Japan, and possibly with more kind of layers to it.
This is an alternative choice on Saturday night, is it?
No, this is on the Friday. This is at Mao as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So this is on Friday. I think there's not too much else going around on Friday night. I think Asholo from Chengdu are playing at Yuntang.
Oh, Ashura, yeah. I checked out their page actually, and it's kind of like poppy commercial rock. Again, kind of like the Coldplay Britpop esque songs, but it with a bit more distortion in the guitars and a bit more upbeat or something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, if you really like your Brit style indie pop, actually, you know, by all means, get down to that. Is that Friday?
That's Friday night. That one's 40 kwai, or you can go to Mao and watch Mono, which is 200 kwai.
All right, so that's it. That was the damp squib of a season finale when we're under the weather, depressed. We're gonna miss you all. Not that we actually hear you. Not that you comment as much as we'd like. But that's fine because it's all nice comments. I'd hate to get 60 comments and they were like, "You suck, you limey fuck," or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, so
a lot of swearing in this one, isn't there?
Yeah, it's because I'm all under the weather and I've got a headache. Oh, and it's Christmas and I hate fucking Christmas. It's depressing.
Right, good. But
I'm on a mission to ruin your holiday now.
Thanks, mate.
You're going to go back. All the family are going to be around. All the relatives and the uncles you don't want to see. You're having to talk to people you don't like.
People are going to be saying SH should rot in piss.
That's right. It's going to be horrible. Those bastards.
Yeah.
So this is it. Your moment is in. We've reached the song of the end of season one.
So we hinted at it earlier. What are we going to play?
we're going to play the Pinkberry song by...
Who's that by?
Yeah, by Mortal Force. No, by... we're going to play the Pinkberry song by Pinkberry. So have a good holiday period. I'm not going to say Christmas, hate Christmas, and bye-bye.
Bye.